Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast, where top football coaches from around the country share their stories, philosophies, concepts, and strategies to help you get better on and off the field. Now, here's your host, Keith Grabowski.
Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast and the Ed Series, coming to you every Tuesday during the season. The design of this series is to give you some thoughts on practice, analytics, ideas with technology, and how you can streamline a lot of what you are doing during the season. And joining us as our co-host is former AAF, former college defensive coordinator, former state champion at the high school level, Rob Everett. Rob, as always, good to be here with you on the Ed Series.
No doubt. Glad to be back.
So, Rob, our focus today is going to be on the bye week. And I think the bye week presents some unique opportunities. There's some states that don't have a bye week. In Ohio, unless you lose a game and you're only playing nine, there's not a bye week on your schedule. But when you look at, you know, a lot of the states, they might have a fall break where school's off, there's not football played that week. Definitely when you look at the college level, Division III level, there's usually those opportunities throughout the season that you have that week off from a game. And it's an opportunity, I think, to step back a little bit and approach it differently. I think the change in a bye week is there is not that test at the end of the week. That doesn't mean that you don't have a sense of urgency, but it's definitely a time I think you need to look at how do you recharge your coaching staff and your football team.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. And I really like the language that you used there, Coach, saying opportunity, because that's what I think the bye week is. And it really can be a fork in the road for a lot of teams. And I think the pitfall that people will fall into a lot of times is I have 2 weeks to prepare for the next opponent. I know certainly I've had experience with that at several levels where, you know, that extra time can actually be detrimental if it's not allocated properly. But I think it's also worth noting that there is no perfect science to, you know, this is what you should do on the bye week. I think, you know, the bye week, when you're going into it or in summer or at this point, you know, you're making the decisions now, but know what your team can handle. You know, what type of team do you have from a maturity standpoint? What type of team do you have from a focus standpoint? And that should be the first step in guiding you towards a successful bye week.
When I think about the preseason, you know, camp, we're looking at things and it's all carefully orchestrated in teaching progressions. The fundamentals and skills are taught in a well-planned out sequence. Everything is kind of done in those small segments with a focus on each step of the progression. And then at some point you switch it over and we're into a game week mode. And, you know, when you think about that during the season, the skills that we have are practiced. You know, we're usually combining those, trying to be very efficient with the time we have in individual, creating drills that address multiple things and trying to maximize that practice time. And I think you can look at the bye week in a number of different ways. And I think back to one of the head coaches I worked for handled it, and there was not immediately a focus on that next opponent. There was going to be, number one, a day off there. Really just looking at film, you know, the normal day off, and usually we would look at film, head out onto the field. So we got those errors corrected, and there was no physical part that day. It was a day to rest. And then the next couple days were kind of just more about ourselves and not worrying about that next opponent yet. And we might then prep one day earlier where we flip the switch and then move ahead. So it wasn't 2 full weeks, because I think you can start to overthink that. Your players can maybe lose a little bit of interest with 2 weeks for it, but at the same time, maybe get in a position where they're overanalyzing too. You get that paralysis by analysis. So you want to think out of where do you flip that switch onto the next opponent. And it is a time, certainly, you can look at getting and maybe an extra practice on them. But I also then think, how do you handle those days where you're focused on yourself? And I know you have a lot that you would like to share in terms of your thought process on how to maximize those days.
Yeah, absolutely. And just to recap something that you said that's really important, the day off, I think, is invaluable, especially during the bye week. There should be, you know, 2, maybe 3 days that not necessarily there isn't football activity, but there certainly should be one or two where you're not talking to the players. Because you got to remember, at this point, you've had 3 to 5 weeks of camp. You've had, you know, 2 to 3 weeks of the season. You've been together about 2 months at this point. You're probably tired as a coach of talking to the players in the best possible way. And the players are probably sick of hearing from us in the best possible way. So getting a chance to recharge and do something that the players are interested in outside of football, and that's true from a coaching standpoint also, I think is vital. Take that time off. You know, don't worry. This is a chance where the clock kind of slows down, because it doesn't stop, but it slows down. So take that day off, flush football for a little bit, as hard as it might be for some of us. But I think the biggest thing that you can do, and you said it, focus on yourself, focus on us, but also create those situations and really use that as a situational awareness. We try to do that in training camp all the time, where we're putting our players in situations we think we may see. Now we have 2 or 3 games worth of actual film of situations we were in. You know, so maybe there's a situation that you found yourself in that you didn't handle very well. Duplicate that in practice and try to do it as realistic as possible, involving special teams, even go into the locker room if you need to, simulate coming out of halftime, things like that. You have the time in the bye week. But then also looking forward, what are the things that on the schedule, you know, whether it's a goofy formation or whether, you know, it's a tempo thing, you don't need to identify the opponent that you're prepping for, but you can create the situation in the bye week so that your players get exposed to it, you know, before the clock really is running.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And, you know, we did talk about that in deliberate practice last week, Andy Ryland and I, about creating a drill. And we said, let's not think of it as a drill, because drills can get pretty sterile. But recreating that situation as it happens within your individual periods, maybe you need to involve a number of different guys. I had a question from a coach where we talked about how we framed out, how would you practice for the scrambling quarterback? Yes, we want to work open field tackle, but what does it really look like? Because, you know, you have all those other players involved and you can leverage them as well. So head back to that one. I'll put the link in our show notes. But I think that's the idea, is now you can get a little bit specialized in, you know, during the course of a game week, I might not have that extra 10 minutes to work this, but now I do, and we can get better at that thing. And it goes back to what you and I talked about last week, the self-scout, right? The self-scout really telling you a lot about who you are and allowing you to think about where you want to be. So this is a week where you do start to look at some of those things. We might want to add this wrinkle, maybe not this particular week, but let's start working on this. Or this is a gadget play that we're going to need somewhere in the second half of the season. Let's start introducing that kind of stuff. And keeping those kinds of things fresh too, I think, is good for the player's mentality.
Yes, that is terrific. So self-scout is the perfect thing, I think, that you can focus on in the bye week, because it keeps you sharp as a coach too, where you're analyzing, you know, numbers and thinking about opponents, but the opponent just happens to be yourself. So that's a great opportunity right there. And then, you know, you brought up Andy. Tackling is another piece that you can get into in the bye week and really get that training camp approach almost back. And not to say that it's contact per se, but on that Tuesday or Wednesday of the bye week, you know, you can kind of, you know, you have a fresh crew. You should at that point, that you could almost spend an entire day on tackling and compartmentalize the tackle, as we like to do. But that's the perfect opportunity to do it, because you know the pitfalls that you've had in tackling from the first couple games, and you can build that off of what you did in training camp, and then hopefully springboard yourself into a better tackling team for the rest of the year.
I think the other thing too, and I wrote an article about this, I'll share it in the show notes as well, but the title of the article was Fall Back to Fundamentals. And again, that idea of what do you do in the bye week? And this particular one was focused on offensive line. But as I mentioned, you know, we get into those in-season drills and we combine a lot of skills within there for efficiency, try to get a 2-for-1, 3-for-1 in a drill. And now is the chance actually to step back. So, you know, if you're doing a good job evaluating your position, you may find some areas where, you know, we're not quite as good as I would like us to be at this point. Maybe it's something as simple as how your receivers are exploding off the ball. Maybe you need to revisit that. Maybe it is how you're fitting your hands as an offensive lineman. And pulling back the drills to work a little bit, not a ton, but to just work that one-to-one individual part of the skill to give them that feel and to move forward with it. And I talk about this all the time, I think, with Andy about a work on your own period. So you share with your players all those evaluations, here's some things you need to work on, et cetera. They know and they're different. And it gives you, when you have, you know, a 5 or 10 minute period, and I continue this actually during the season. I would do it during special teams time, but it was always a work on your own period for the offensive line. They would get a partner who might have some similar things to work on, and they would just go and work those things at their pace, kind of working through problems together. And I would filter around just helping them, right? I wasn't necessarily driving those periods, but I'm moving around like a teacher in the classroom who has the kids. You know, I was an English teacher, so the kids are writing their paper and I'm going around working with them individually and helping them improve their skills rather than the whole group. So I like thinking about it that way too, is, guys, what are the things you need to work on today? Let's fill some of those needs. We're going to take a 5 minute period here or a 10 minute period here and work a certain set of drills, and you're going to work on the specifics of that apply to you.
Yeah, and along those same lines is having the older players that you have coach up the younger players. It is important to know your team and what they can handle, because that can backfire on you if you don't have the right people doing it. But I think this is also an opportunity to have fun and shake up the routine. While the routine is important, a little variety in the routine is also important, especially because, you know, this is the bye week and it's not like your routine. So you have that opportunity to shake it up a little bit. But, you know, create environments where the players take ownership, you know, even of play calls. You know, you set up things with, you know, scrimmage with the younger players where your seniors or your older players or your leaders are the ones calling the plays. And you step back and listen to the way that the players are communicating and the players are talking and what they say and how they handle it when they have to make decisions. You know, you can learn a lot about your players in a non-stressful environment that you can get a lot of good information out of in that sense. And hopefully, you know, the players have some fun. That's something, whenever we've had situations like that in scrimmages where the players are in charge, make sure you put a time limit on it because it can get out of hand. But I think everyone has fun with that because the older guys who aren't playing are taking ownership and putting that hat on. And then it's an opportunity for the younger players to step in and get some of those, you know, first team reps and things like that. So not necessarily a wholesale change where you take everybody out, but, you know, that you can identify 3 to 4 or 5 players that could use a rest and a week off and that can handle that mentally.
I think that's a great point, Rob. And when you think about just learning, right, you know it best when you can teach it. So it gives those players really the opportunity probably to start to understand things in a different way when they have to communicate it, they have to teach it to those players. So I love that idea of some of those player-led sessions. And when you think about it, especially if these are veteran guys who, you know, physically can benefit from having a little bit of time off, of taking some of their reps away, we certainly want to keep their timing fresh during this week, their timing up, but you can pull back some of those. You can insert some of those second team guys to play with the first team and get those feel. I mean, you might need to have that down the line. And I think just from a first team, second team perspective, evening those reps out, you know, in camp, it's for us, it was usually at the beginning kind of even with ones and twos. There's a lot of evaluation going on. And even, you know, if we had a third unit, but as we got more towards the season, it ramped up so that it might be 60-40, 70-30, depending on how close to the game we were getting, the first team getting those reps. And now this is an opportunity to even this out a little bit and make sure everybody's learning, everybody's preparing. And just, again, kind of going back to that camp mentality about how do we grow as a team.
Yeah, that's right. And I think it can fit with, you know, you mentioned it, mentality. I had this conversation with a coach a couple days ago, you know, that idea of the veteran day off. I mean, that's a pro concept. And you look at the pro level where guys don't practice all week and then they play. The reason they can do that is because of their approach to practice. You know, they're practicing mentally and things like that. So I've always tried to use that sort of concept, even at the high school level, where we say, you know, prepare like a professional. And, you know, I think this is a carrot that you can dangle in front of some players that can handle it is, you know, if you're going to prepare like a professional, I'm going to treat like a professional. And that may be, you know, some physical time off or being creative in practice, whether that's in the bye week or as the season goes.
I think too, Robert, you know, from the team standpoint, it is the opportunity to, again, look at what are some of the things we need to work on as a team, those situations that have come up in self-scout. I could think of in particular, one of the things we needed to get better on in our bye week was our scramble drill on offense. And so it was, you know, that's a tough thing to simulate. So we got a little creative in how we put it into a 7-on-7 format to allow that opportunity for guys to truthfully run their routes full go and then have to adjust and get into their scramble rules because they don't know where the quarterback's going right away. This is something I shared last year on deliberate practice with Andy Ryland, that we would basically just give some escape commands for the quarterback. So we had A, B, C, and essentially D gap escapes. And we would just give them a direction. A lot of times the A gap was they're just moving right or left or maybe up and back. And we give them three commands. Hey, you're going A, A, C. And they would know what those escapes look like from a footwork perspective, but we would never tell them what directions. We would point as it was going. And everybody's running their routes and then having to adjust afterwards. The defense, it was very beneficial. They loved that drill as well because it gave them that true feel of having to cover. And then as guys worked different directions to make sure you're covering down and maintaining the integrity of the coverage as guys are moving to different areas. And so how do you keep them honest? Well, within there, I might say rhythm AC, which means if you have your rhythm route, you know, the route that's open on the last step of your drop, throw it. And we would every now and then sprinkle those in too. So now I have a drill that I don't necessarily need the offensive line in banging around, but everybody else, it gets that real feel to it. And that was a great drill for us to just insert a couple times during that week, and we got better at it, right? It doesn't necessarily take a lot of time, but it takes giving your players those opportunities and creating the true game situation. Because as you said in the beginning, it's looking at those situations and creating the exact feel that you get on game day, not that sterile drill that's always just one for one. I think it has those benefits, like I said, to go back to it at this time, but also looking at how do we simulate everything there. And I know talking about the simulation probably leads us down another road too with some of the things you can do with the Go Army Edge app.
Yeah, I think the bye week is a great opportunity to, you know, really get into the situation, like you said, but it also, because there's no opponent, there's no, you know, test at the end of the week, your meeting time can be really productive. You can almost get back into that, you know, that college or professional mentality of, you know, training camp where you have not unlimited meeting time, but, you know, there's a lot that can be accomplished. I think we try to jump out on the field too early to work on skills where, you know, this is a chance really to hone our mental skills. I mean, we've done this in the past with, you know, using Go Army Edge to simulate those goofy formations or, you know, create the tempo drill that's testing our players mentally. But we're doing it in a classroom, so it's a controlled environment, so we're able to get a lot more out of it. And not having that target at the end of the week allows you to slow down and really have some good conversations. You know, we've used, you know, Go Army Edge with Google Forms, as we've talked about in the past, to really get some self-assessment about us as coaches, about our scheme, finding out what the players know. You know, so we would present them with some random scheme tests. We would also give them, you know, surveys to fill out over Google Forms to really give us the information to be able to shape out what the rest of the season is going to look like.
Yeah, I love using those Google Forms, and you taught me a lot about those. I know most of that stemmed from your work as a teacher in the classroom, and you started to realize, hey, I could use this for football. I had a form for my players where we listed out every scheme. This was when I was coaching offensive line. We listed out every scheme for them. So as an example, we had, you know, power, a counter, inside zone, outside zone, pin and pull. And in under each of those then, for every single position, every single skill element that we've taught along their skill element and decision-making element. So as we list those out, I had three columns for them, and it was needs work, secure, excel. And I mean, excel would be, you know, I'm grading out at 90% every time we run that particular play and I use this skill or I use this decision-making process. The secure was to be in the 80s, and then anything below 80 was needs work. And for them, it was a self-evaluation. I mean, you know, they watched the film, they had those things, they certainly were getting some of the information from me, but we went back to that You know, we'd give that to them basically about week one and a half, halfway through camp or so, and then at the end of camp to know where they were really at. And then this was a good time to go back to that and give them that form and let them evaluate where they're at. And again, that's the stuff that I want them to be reflective. I mean, I might think you're secure at this, but there might be some lack of confidence in that. And again, then that would go into some of our work on your own periods where they know this is what I need to get better at. This is what I'm going to work on individually.
Yeah. And coaches who are going to do this, which everybody should do, whether it's, you know, in a bye week or whether you have a process for that, but add in the question, what do you prefer to run? You know, game on the line, we need 4 yards and we're going to run the ball. What scheme would you like to run? Because you'd be surprised on what you see. You know, you're talking about offensive line, because I used to do that with the defensive backs also. But, you know, think about the offensive linemen. If you have all 5 of your guys in the tight end say they would like to run power with the game on the line, you know, but as a coach you like to run zone, you know, you got to find that. But it's important to know that, hey, our entire line likes running power. Now, that doesn't mean you do it necessarily, but, you know, that's pretty good information to know. And you can use the bye week with that extra time to really find that stuff out. And they have experience of the first couple of games to be able to, you know, draw on it intelligently.
You know, it's interesting. Last year, I mean, it's no secret I'm a huge Cleveland Browns fan, so I follow everything they do. But there's an interview with Freddie when he took over the offense, because when he did, it really clicked. And I mean, they were moving the ball as well as anybody in the NFL. And they asked him, you know, how did you do this? And he said exactly that. He's like, I sat down with the players and I wanted to see what they felt comfortable with, what they liked doing, what did they want to run. Don't discount that in your self-scout and your self-evaluation. And that's not just in the bye week, but throughout the season, have those conversations with your guys. It's very important to know. I mean, like you said, I might think, hey, game's on the line, I need a yard, let's go inside zone. And they're saying, coach, we feel best about power. Well, let's really understand that. Let's look into it and examine that thought process. Sometimes they're wrong. They may not be good at it, but there's a lot to be said about the confidence that they have in something and then building upon that.
Yeah, I think that's it. It's the confidence thing. It's the, you know, the idea that, oh yeah, I'm comfortable with this. This is our play, whether that might be true or not. Because I always tell the players that, you know, I haven't been on the field in a long time. I sit in the press box. And so I always use the line, like, I have game slippers on in the press box. It's air conditioned. You know, it's catered up there. You know, you guys are the ones who have to play. So let's make you as comfortable as possible, because of all those things, I'm going to be comfortable. That's a guarantee.
Rob, I think the last part, you've mentioned this, but the coach in this, I think it's very important. You know, if you're a head coach, if you're a coordinator and you have a staff, or if you're just an individual coach and you have control of your time right here, the approach that's taken with the coaches during this time to make sure that they're recharging, that they come out of this bye week mentally fresh as well. You know, thoughts on some keys to that. So, you know, as I look at a situation I was in, you know, we had a bye week and the thought was, okay, I'm going to get a little bit more time with my family this week. We don't need to necessarily stay around and break down all the film at the end of the day. And, you know, our head coach made the decision that it'd be good for us to be on the road that week for a few days recruiting. So I actually ended up spending less time with my family. I did not come out of that very fresh and recharged. In fact, it felt like it added a lot more stress to my life. So it was a time where, you know, time with the family is precious. You know, we have to think about, and that's, I mean, not all, you know, we're talking to a lot of high school coaches here. So as an example, though, of why we got to make sure that those days are crisp and short until we turn that game week mentality back on, maybe for our coaches, they could use this time as well.
Yeah, I think that's right. And it's about, I think it starts with the organization and starts with, you know, obviously the boss has to, you know, have his plan and things like that. I've been fortunate, you know, at all levels that I've worked at, that I've had good organized head coaches who understood the big picture. And the big thing is, you know, even if it's selfish motivations, you want your coaches, you want your players fresh, because, you know, who cares what happened at the beginning of the season? You want to finish strong, or else it doesn't matter, you know, accomplishing your goals, whether it's playoffs, whether it's momentum into the off season, whatever that might be. So this time to get your players and your coaches the chance to recharge, I think, is important. So when you look at the organization, you know, if you're really going to grind them at practice, cut them loose from some of those other things. You know, tell them, don't go scout our next opponent. you know, or if we're talking about college, don't go, you know, spend one less day on the road, or, you know, don't go to the this trip this week, you know, or if it's the other direction where, hey, we're going to tailor back on practice a little bit and we're going to use more mental stuff and things like that, then maybe you can push them a little bit more in recruiting. But I think it's tempting to say, we have this time, we need to fill this time. And having time off is really an important piece. And I think that comes with age. You know that, Keith, that, you know, I can still flash back to when I was 25 and I was a head coach for the first time. And, you know, we were going to outwork people and we weren't going to take any days off and things like that. And, you know, there's something to be said for outworking people, absolutely, but it should be outworking them intelligently so that you're able to make it to the end. So finding that balance during the bye week's key for your players and your coaches. Finishing up with this, I think, is a smart move because, you know, the coach's mentality is important, their time with their family is important, and you want them coming back, you know, excited to attack, whether it's that the staff meeting that you're going to have or the practice the next week that you're going to have. You want those guys excited rather than they're down, they're still tired. And there's a lot of things that you can do as a head coach to kind of get those guys excited. Give them some cash to go out on a date night with their wives, or ask them for something and give them something to be excited with that they're not expecting. I remember Coach Clark at Bridgewater, you know, he would, before the bye week, and we did this at the end of training camp also, you know, he would ask us, we got to clean up the office. And then we'd clean up the office. We'd have a quick staff meeting. You know, he'd have an envelope with us for each one of us. And he kicked us out and said, do not come back until this time. You know, it was one of those things where I'm going to be upset with you if you try to sneak in here and do some work. And I think that's a good tone to set from a head coach.
Well, I think some great suggestions here this week on The Edge again, Rob. And for those of you out there who haven't checked it out yet, please check out GoArmyEdge.com for some of the technology we've been talking about here. And Rob is an open book. If you don't know him, follow him on Twitter at 9inthebox. Spell it out. That's N-I-N-E in the box. He certainly will answer questions. I'm available as well. If there's things you would like us to talk about on this podcast, please let us know. The whole thing is designed for coaches. It's designed for our audience. So give us that feedback and let us know what are some of the things you're thinking about or some of the problems you would like to hear some solutions for. I'm at Coach K Grabowski, and our Twitter for football coaches is at FBDEV Coach. And be sure to check out our systems as well at footballdevelopment.com. Rob, I enjoyed this week again. I look forward to exploring some more ideas on giving our coaches the edge next week.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on again, Coach.
Thanks for listening to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. For more resources, visit the Coach Performance Center at usafootball.com.